Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
Matthew 12, verse 43. This is our final message in this series, and there's a lot of ground to cover, and I'm going to get you out of here on time because I want you to come back for Fall Fest. Matthew 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than he himself. And they entered in, they dwell there. They entered in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. This is our final message in the series, Spiritual Warfare. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm winning the battle because of Jesus. You may be seated. 60 seconds to catch everybody up real quick. You can go back to the podcast. You can go back to the website and listen to everything. And I encourage you, listen to message two, because I still saw some crazy things about generational curses online this week. And we need to shatter that myth that in Christ there is no generational curses. The blood of Jesus is enough. And I'll say this again. There's nothing that a pastor that is egotistical loves to do than to put a spirit on you and then cast that spirit out of you after they're the ones that put it on you, because it makes them look big, bad, and they might get an extra offering out of the deal. That's not good. That's not right. That's free for you today. So I don't believe in generational curses, because I believe the blood of Jesus is enough. Now, I believe if you haven't had the blood of Jesus applied, generational curses should be the least amount of worry that you have about what is attached to your life. The devil is after you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Tells us to stay ready. I love this. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. God and Satan are fighting over us. It's what we call spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not a flat tire. It's not a caffeine headache. It's not a crossword against you from someone on social media. It's not a bad day at work. Spiritual warfare is not bad things that happen to us because of a lack of preparation on our part. Spiritual warfare is not bad things that happen because of decisions that we choose to make. And I will die on this hill, and I'll say it a million times more, and I tell my kids all the time, if you hang out with losers, you lose. You hang out with lowlifes, you lower your life. You hang out with faithless people, you have less faith. So a lot of what we call spiritual warfare is not spiritual warfare. It is spiritual access that we have given. Remember, you don't have to cast out what you don't allow in. So a lot of times, if we would deal with it when it shows up, it wouldn't turn into possession or oppression. Spiritual warfare does not mean that you are out of the will of God. On the contrary, most spiritual warfare is because you're smack dab in the middle of the will of God. A lot of spiritual warfare is to adjust or divert our attention, to get our attention on things, on people, on lesser battles, on lesser wars, so that we do not fight the main enemy, so that we do not focus on Jesus Christ. But what a spiritual attack is a systematic, organized attack to keep someone from pursuing God or make someone turn away from God, to keep someone from pursuing the things of God or make someone reject the things of God, to attack or to keep someone from fulfilling their God-created purpose. And where we left off last session is a spiritual attack is designed to do one thing. It is to make you question your faith in Jesus Christ. Our main goal when you come into this building is to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, we want to reintroduce you to him. And if you know him very well, we want to introduce you to a new dimension of who Jesus is. How many of you have been married to somebody for over 15 years? Raise your hands. How many of you are still learning about that person? Raise your hand. If you've been married 15 years and you're not still learning, you're losing. I'm finding things out about Mandy all the time. Some of them are shocking to me. Some of them are diametrically opposed to what I thought. So I'm asking her, why did you let me do that for 18 years? If you didn't like that flavor, if you didn't like that restaurant, why do we keep going?
And so a lot of times we lose because we do not learn, and that when we have questions, we don't get them answered through Christ. We allow the enemy to start speaking into our lives. Some new material. 22 years as a believer, 22 years involved in ministry, and over 2 decades of pastoring, I've learned some of how the enemy works. The enemy attacks, and there's going to be some practical information for you this morning. The enemy attacks 3 ways. He comes at you. He comes on you. But he will do his best to get in you. At you or against you. On you or in you. Those 3 attacks show up in 2 different ways. Oppression is at you or on you. Possession is when that adversarial, anti-Christ spirit now lives on the inside of you. Oppression, and I knew it would get really quiet. And the rest of the world is talking about Exorcist and Friday the 13th and all of this craziness. And I told you, I don't watch those movies because that stuff's too real. I've seen demon-possessed people. I've seen their voice change. I've seen their face change. I've been around it. I mean, I grew up in a Pentecostal home in a Pentecostal church. It was it was wake up, eat breakfast, go to church, cast 4 devils out, go to lunch, come back, have church, cast a couple more devils out, and go to sleep. That was a normal Sunday. So I've been around it enough that I don't want to go pay $8 at the movies, $10 for popcorn, and $7 for a Dr. Pepper to allow that spirit in and invite it in, and then have to spend the next 2 months trying to get it to leave after I'm the one who said, hey, I got a room for you if you want to come crash at my place for a while. Oppression means you're attacked from the outside or that a spirit is on you. I said this many months ago. The enemy, remember this, comes at you to see what's in you. That's why I never get scared that the devil's after me. I know he's after me to steal, kill, and destroy. But I also know that God is not after me. He's already caught me. And he's come to give me life eternally and life in abundance. So I'm never scared of what's coming at me because I'm faithful to God and I know what is in me. Greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. In him I live, move, and have my being. Out of your belly, that's the inside, shall flow rivers of living water. We are Holy Ghost fed. We are Holy Ghost led. But we have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So I never fear what comes at me because I know what's in me. But the devil doesn't know what's in you until he comes at you. So that's oppression. Possession means you're attacked from the inside. You never want to get to the place where you're possessed. Possession means that you no longer call the shots. Possession means that you no longer control what you say, what you do, how you react. I think we would be shocked if we knew how many people were possessed, not oppressed. I think we would be shocked. People that we have casual dinners with, people that work down 3 cubicles from where you are that are literally possessed with an adversarial spirit. All it takes is just type in on your YouTube search bar, political rants, and you will see somebody that is not ranting for change. You will see a demonic spirit in people that is making them say hateful things and do hateful things and punch people in the face and pull weapons on people, all in the name of Republican or Democrat. You say it's political. No, it's spiritual. See, people that hate you because of the color of your skin, you say it's ignorance. It's not ignorance. Racism is an evil spirit. That's why you cannot legislate racism out. You've got to be delivered from that spirit. You've got to have hands laid on you. You've got to talk to that spirit. You say, well, that's just how I was raised. Change the way you were raised. Change the way that you're used to. Change what's going in. Change everything is supposed to change when we say yes to God. I've had people tell me, Pastor, please pray for me. I think I'm possessed. And I have to take those moments and help them with their theology. Because I believe as a true spirit-filled believer that you and I cannot be demon-possessed, only demon-oppressed. I believe that as a spirit-filled believer that the enemy can come at me, and at times he can try to come on me, but he can never come in me. Because that space is already taken up, and that space is not empty. That's our key verse. We haven't left that space clean and empty since the blood of Jesus. It washed away our sins. That's why I am an advocate, and I don't want to jump too far ahead of what I want to say today. That's why I'm an advocate of you getting saved, you getting baptized in water, and filled with the Holy Ghost all in 5 minutes. Why? Because when we get saved, that's the greatest step you will ever make. You're clean. You're swept. You're garnished. You're empty of all of that stuff. But if you don't fill that void with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is not only speaking in tongues, it is not only dunamis, it is not only power, it is the 9 fruits of the Spirit now manifested in us. I don't have room for hate because love now resides here. I don't have room for depression, come on now, because hope resides here. I don't have room for anxiety and fear because faith now resides here. I don't have room for impatience because long-suffering, oh, come on, now resides here. And so when we talk about oppression, we need to realize that as spirit-filled believers, you cannot be possessed. You can only be oppressed. A few years ago, I was at a camp, and we were praying. And at camp, we don't do these 15-minute altar calls because everybody's trying to get out to brunch or lunch. At camp, those altar calls sometimes last 2 hours, and we're not laying our hands as quick as we can. We're taking 3 minutes with each young people, 5 minutes, sometimes 50 minutes, helping them, answering questions, and speaking vision and faith over their life. But I remember this was a few years ago. I remember that there was a young man who was possessed with an evil spirit. And I walked by him, and as I walked by him, when I walked by him, he fell flat on his face. Didn't reach out. I'm talking about he fell flat on his face and started screaming. And I'm talking about screaming. I'm talking about the kind that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And so I had a lot of young leaders at the time. And I just turned to 3 or 4 young leaders and I said, hey, go over there and cast that devil out. And I kept praying. I'm laying hands and praying. About 15 minutes go by. And I turn around. Young man still flat on his face. Screaming, convulsing, shaking, and all 3 or 4 of those leaders that I sent over there to cast him out were all on their knees, in his ear, hands on his back, and they're saying, in the name of Jesus, come on, brother, you got to want to be freed. And so I went over there, and I said, move out of the way. I got down on my hands and knees. I got my ear, my mouth was right in his ear. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, evil spirit, you've got to go. Devil, you cannot stay. Right now, leave in Jesus' name. Then I told the young man, I said, get up. Snotty nose. Screaming ended. Face was fine. All the movement and all the contouring of his face, all of that was. And I said, you feel free? And he said, no. I said, it doesn't matter if you feel free. You're free. That devil is gone. That demon is gone. When we operate in authority, it left. Now, this is what I told him. Now, you have the opportunity, if you don't do something in these next few moments, you don't start worshiping, praying, if when you get home, you don't fill yourself up with the things of God, this time next year when you're at camp, you're going to be 7 times worse than you were today. And then after I got him settled, I had to go over
over and have a little Bible lesson in the middle of altar call with those three, four young leaders. And they're young leaders, but I told them, don't beg, don't negotiate. We don't negotiate with the devil. We don't try to talk him out. We don't beg him to come out. As believers that have been endowed with the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ, when we tell the devil, you've got to go, he's got to go. You and I have that authority. You and I should be looking for devils to cast out. Shouldn't be shying away. So I believe as a true spirit-filled believer that we can be oppressed but not possessed. A demonic spirit and the Holy Spirit cannot coexist, cannot cohabitate. You either have one or you have the other. And as spirit-filled believers, there is no room for the occult. There is no room for Ouija boards. There's no room for 900 numbers. There's no room for Miss Cleo. Y'all remember her? You would have think she would have called herself to know that she was about to die. She didn't see that coming. Some of us go to the horoscope every day. Oh, I'm a Leo. I'm a Sagittarius. You know when I knew? I was a dumb young Christian. You know when I knew horoscope was bad? When one of the signs was Cancer. And you got people going around saying, I'm a Cancer, what are you? That's the declaration you're making? That's what you're going to go with? No. I'm a child of God. No, I'm a man of authority. No, I'm a man of faith. No, I'm a man of the word of God. No, you are a woman of God. You are a daughter of the king. You are a world changer, a culture shifter, a transformation person. Not burning sage. I'm calling on all of heaven to show up. When you say the name of Jesus, every angel in heaven, every created angel from the beginning of time that he created, all the new angels that he is a creative God. When I say in the name of Jesus, millions of angels snap to attention, show up at my bedside, show up at my front door, show up at my office, show up at the hospital, wherever it is. Cast them out. Devil, you have no place. It's going to get tight for the next 60 seconds. Just keep looking straight ahead. Anxiety is a spirit. Depression is a spirit. Here's the difference between oppressed and possessed. Depression means it's on you. Suicide, it got in you. Anxiety, depression, it's on you. Suicide, hurting other people, now it's in you. Now, it's not Houston we have a problem, everybody we have a problem. Everyone connected to you now becomes collateral damage. Everyone connected to you now, you are now a liability instead of an asset. Oh, I thank God for saving this miserable wretch that my wife doesn't have to worry about me coming home and bouncing her off every wall. I am grateful that my children don't have to worry, is dad coming home tonight? And if he comes home tonight, is he going to be higher than a kite or drunk beyond? Oh, come on, somebody. It is because of the Spirit of God. I've had moments where it got on me, and Mandy can tell you, I've called her into my office. You got to lay your hands on me because I'm not thinking right. I'm not thinking God thoughts. And she lays her hands on me, and I'm not telling you 5 weeks later, 5 months later, 12 steps later, I'm talking about 15 seconds later, all that junk melts off of me. It leaves the same way it showed up. Why? Because we have authority in Jesus Christ. I've got 6 minutes and a long ways to go. Acts chapter 19. I love this story. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. They knew the name because of what they heard, not because of what they experienced.
That's why Living Way is great for us real believers. But for the casual believer, it becomes dangerous. Because you leave here talking to Jesus that Tammy knows, but you don't. You go declaring a Jesus and trying to operate at faith that Brother Warren has that you don't. So these Jews are walking around and they're using the name of Jesus. And they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. The entire account in Acts 19 comes down to one word, one thing, and that is authority. Authority is not nepotistic. Authority does not come to you just because you're in the right church with the right pastors or the right mentors. Authority only comes from Jesus. Authority is not gained through osmosis. There are crazy ministries all around our country who take practice in crazy things called grave soaking. And they literally go to Billy Graham's grave and they lay on the ground, soaking up his anointing. I'm sorry, you didn't pay the price that Billy paid. You didn't pay the price that Paul paid. You didn't pay the price that Peter paid. I'm not living my life off of your testimony and off of your authority. I've been to the cross. I've been to the upper room. I've been to the throne room. I always say it matters who you sit next to in church. It does. But their worship is not your worship. Their prayer is not your prayer. Their faith is not your faith. Their authority is not your authority. Authority is not gained through osmosis. Authority is not gained through longevity. Hebrews 5:12 says, for when the time ye ought to become teachers, you have need that one teach you. He said, you should have a PhD. You should be the professor, and you're still in preschool. Our public school system needs some help. Number one, our teachers need to be paid a great, not living wage, a great wage. I'm all for taking some of this NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB money and all of and shifting a little bit of that over to our education system. But this is what I know, how it should be. If you don't pass the test of kindergarten, you shouldn't move to first grade. I don't care if you have a tattoo on your arm and a mustache and you're 18 years old. If you can't tell me what color red, blue, green, and yellow are, if you can't give me the alphabet, there is no reason for you to go to the first grade, which means there are people that are coming to church and we wear it as a badge of honor like we worked at HEB. And well, I've been here 22 years. You could be here 22 decades and still not have authority because it doesn't come down to longevity. It comes down to the revelation of who Christ is. We as the children of God and that God has given us that ability. Somebody say amen. It's not gained through longevity. Verse 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. This is one of the funniest verses, and it shouldn't be. But I'm on this side of the cross, so it's hilarious to me. Jesus, I know. I even know Paul. But who are you? One of the most dismissing things you can do to someone that thinks they know you is say, I'm sorry, who are you? Where did we meet? Andrew Willis always chastises me because he tells me somebody that he thinks I should know, and before he gets the last name out, he's halfway through the last name, and I just say, never heard of him. And it just kills his story because he's about to tell me a story of a person he thinks that I know. I don't know him, Andrew. Let's talk about something we both know. Some of us leave this church in the name of Jesus whom Living Way preaches. In the name of Jesus who Pastor Stephen Furtick preaches. In the name of Jesus that Mike Todd preaches and professes. And the enemy looks at you and he takes great glory in saying, I know Jesus. I know Stephen Furtick. I know Mike Todd, but let me look at my list. Who are you?
If hell doesn't know you, you have a problem. If Satan doesn't know you, you have a problem. Oh, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but my name is, I'm number one most wanted in hell. They know me. They know what I'm about. They know what I talk about. They know how I live. They know the Holy Ghost that resides within me. And so when I say, in the name of Jesus, they're not saying, now who? They said, I know he knows that name. Why? Because when he said, in the name of Jesus, the heavens opened up. Every angel showed up. Jesus showed up. And now we've got to go.
You know Jesus, but you don't have authority. There's something wrong with that. It's like knowing the greatest chef in the world and starving to death. It's like being raised in Dr. Seuss's house but not knowing how to read. It's right there for you. All you've got to do is believe in Jesus and operate in that authority. I am out of time. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. It's amazing to me that the name of Jesus always attracts attack, even if you don't use it right. He said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, that I don't know who you are, but the evil spirit leapt on them, not in them, leapt on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. What happens when the spirit comes on you but not in you? You lose your covering and you're wounded. You're not dead, but you're naked and afraid. Come on now. No covering. You're wounded. Everything that you thought was going to happen. Now, I mean, they thought they were about to have the greatest exorcist in the history of exorcism. And what happened? The very same guys that said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, are now naked, wounded, and running. That is no place to be. The evil spirits came at them, jumped on them. Don't stir up what you can't cast out. Don't stir up what you can't cast out. Don't stir up what you can't cast out. You might need some backup. You might need some. Now, listen, you don't have to have backup. But if you refuse to grow spiritually and step in that authority, why don't you move out of the way and let the varsity team take over? You're still on JV. You're still on milk. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. I'm calling it like I see it, and I need people to be shaken awake. I'm tired of the so-called woke Christians being the ones that are actually being put to sleep. It's time for the real believer to wake up and say, no, I'm not going to take that. Nope, I'm not going to sit down and act like that's happening. I'm going to use the authority. Pastor Beck, if you'll come. Luke chapter 8. I'm not going to read it. Luke chapter 8, verse 30. Actually, verse 26 through 36. But I'll just take some key takeaways from this account. There's a demonic at a place called Gadara. And Jesus steps out of a boat, and this demonic man runs up to Jesus. One translation says that he worships Jesus at his feet. You don't find that word worship, but he does fall at the feet of Jesus. And he says, Son of God, have mercy on me. You know what I love about this? Here's a man that is so demon-possessed, chains cannot hold him. He doesn't keep his clothes on. He cuts himself. There it is. It was on him, but now it's in him. He said, what is your name? Jesus says, what is your name? He says, my name is Legion, for we are many. At least 6,000 spirits are now in this man. 6,000 started with one, and they kept inviting their friends. That's why lust turns into 10 different problems. He's naked. He's busting chains. He's hurting himself, cutting himself, living in the cemetery but not dead. How many of us are living in a cemetery but we're not dead? You might as well be under the ground if you're living there. Do you know what I love this about this? This gives us a look into the nature of God and the power of Jesus that is going to help somebody today from here until you get to heaven. He is possessed, not oppressed, possessed 6,000 spirits. And those 6,000 spirits still couldn't stop him from coming to Jesus
and saying, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me.
I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care how oppressed you are and how long it's been. I say, I don't care. Of course I care. It's a manner of speech. Doesn't matter would be. It doesn't matter how long you've been possessed. Doesn't matter how long you've been oppressed. There is enough Jesus and faith in you. That's Romans 12:3. Measure of faith. That those demons will take you to the cemetery, will try to keep you back. But when Jesus shows up, there's enough in you. Come on, how many of you remember what it was like to be very lost, but not too lost? Very addicted, but not too addicted. That when Jesus showed up, Jesus, Son of David, the Bible says he cast the spirit out and into a bunch of pigs. And what happened when went into the pigs, they jumped off a cliff and drowned themselves. When the Holy Ghost and Jesus shows up, the spirit will kill itself to get away from the God that you call out to. Luke 12, our theme scripture that we didn't have really time to get into and unpack, just tells us the account that while Jesus is teaching, says that a man is delivered from an evil spirit. The evil spirit leaves, and the home is now like brand new. But the host, the person that owns the home, never did anything with that house. Never put any furniture in, didn't move in. And so that evil spirit comes back and he looks through the windows. He said, man, this looks better than when I left. They remodeled. Look at those floors. Man, stainless steel appliances. Man, look at that bathroom. Man, we could wreck this place. And he goes and gets seven spirits worse than him. You think a house party's bad? These guys are about to wreck this place. And the worst state, the latter state, was worse than the former state. As we stand together today, church, I want to encourage you. When God delivers, you better fill that void. Some of us have been possessed before we came to Christ. Some of us are oppressed even today. And oppressed doesn't mean that you're out there living like hell for the devil. Oppressed just means that there's things happening to you and around you that are keeping you from living the best, from making decisions that are faith-filled for your family and those people connected to you. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what's on you or in you or coming at you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For most of us in this room, we've said yes to Jesus, which means we're not possessed, but we might be oppressed. He's been coming at us all 2021. Been coming at our marriage, coming at our children, coming at our mental state, coming at our emotions. And by you coming to this altar, what you're saying is, oh, I feel like it's been on me, it's been around me, but I'm about to put that devil on notice. He's about to be evicted from my life, never to return again. But in doing so, God, I need your spirit to fill every portion of my life, every corner, every room of my heart, God. It is yours, withholding nothing back, God. Every place, God, my mind, my marriage, my money, my spirit, God, my mouth, God, my friends, my business, my job, my education. God, I need you in every area, so that what's coming at me doesn't get a foothold in me. So that when I'm in spiritual warfare,